All right. Okay, what was a couple of the hardest words to avoid in a date? What were some of the hardest words to avoid? Nathaniel. Nicholas. I said Nathaniel. Nicholas. The word the. Yes, great. The word the. Did anyone say yes or no? The hardest words to avoid, yes or no? It's great. Yep, you could say yeah. Okay, great. There you go. Okay, so we're going to come back to the whole phrase thing in just a second. In fact, today and then next week between now and spring break, we're going to do 2 weeks where we're going to talk about phrases that we use in the church particularly that are maybe a little weird. Now, how many of you guys have ever thought, how weird would it be to be like an alien and watch down on Earth and like all the things that humans do, like they wake up in the morning to like really loud sounds and they get in these really weird metal boxes and they drive to something and then they go sit someplace all day long. If you're a kid, you go to school where someone just sits there and like tells you things. And if you're an alien and you're watching all of this, how weird would that be, right? Like that'd be really weird. Now, here's one thing I think would be even weirder. What if you were like an alien or maybe a person that just didn't know any of the context of watching like church, like watching a Sunday morning church happen, where like you're watching this whole situation of this room full of people where everyone's like standing and they're like all singing at once. And then there's like this loud music coming from the stage and some people are like raising their hands and like some people in some churches are like running up and down the aisles like, ah, ah, right? And like you're watching this happen and then someone gets up on stage and has this book, and everyone else has the same book, and they're all, like, looking in this book and, like, reading from it. Like, how weird is that, right? Like, if you didn't know better, if you were, like, an alien watching that happen, isn't that, like, kind of weird? But the thing is, we do kind of know some of the context behind that. We know that those people who are singing all together, they're worshiping. And we know that that book that they're reading out of, well, that's the Bible, so it makes sense that they're all reading out of that book, and we know the history behind that book and why we use it. You see, oftentimes in churches, there's some phrases that we use, even. Some of the words that we use can be really confusing if we don't know the context of why we use them or the reason why we use them. So this week and next week, we're going to look at two different phrases of what are those phrases and what's the context behind them and why are they so powerful. And the word that we're going to look at, the phrase that we're going to look at today is saved. And I love that this falls on this Sunday particularly because this Sunday is Baptism Sunday. So we're going to talk about saved and then we're going to talk about baptism and we're going to look at how those go together. Okay? Now, maybe some of you guys have heard saved used in different contexts or different phrases in the church. So if I'm going to say a few phrases, and if you've heard this before or heard something like this, I'm going to have you raise your hand. How many of you guys have heard Jesus saves? Jesus saves. You've heard it somewhere. Maybe it's the Bible. Maybe it's old grandma said it or something. Jesus saves, right? That's great. How many of you guys have heard, like, he or she is saved? He or she is saved, and you've heard that in church. How many of you guys, maybe if you've gone up to an adult or maybe adults, you've heard this said to you, maybe your kid or something like that, has said, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Like, I want that. I want to be saved. Yeah, so you've heard this word saved used in a few different ways, and I want to replace this word, not replace, it's a great word. You can use it as much as you want, but if it helps you grab some context behind it, we're going to look in Scripture just in a second about what is this word in Scripture and how is it used and what does it mean in Scripture, but I want you to maybe, to help you guys, replace this word, feel free to replace this word with the word rescued. Rescued. So Jesus rescues. I want to be rescued. Hey, he or she is rescued. Now, here's the thing about rescuing. Rescuing requires someone to do the rescuing and requires us to be rescued from something. All right? Think about that as we think of the word saved. Now, if you have your Bibles, great. If you have your app on your phone, great. If you don't have a Bible, I'm going to have you guys grab some Bibles up here from the Bible carts, and I'm going to have you guys turn to the book of Ephesians. Or no, sorry, not Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be at verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians is after the book of Ephesians, before the book of Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We're going to be in Philippians. Now, as you guys are turning, and if you have a question of what the verses, turn to your neighbor and ask them. I'm going to tell you a little bit of context behind Philippians. Philippians was written by a guy named Paul. How many of you guys have heard of the guy named Paul? Great. Let me tell you about Paul. Paul was actually not a follower of Jesus while Jesus was alive. Paul began following Jesus and the ways of Jesus after Jesus had been risen on the cross and had risen from the grave. It was after all of that that Paul started to believe. He was not one of the original disciples. He often gets confused as one of the original disciples, but he was not. In fact, while Jesus was alive, and even a little bit thereafter, Paul was really mean to Christians. Paul persecuted Christians. And what that means is he would not only like pick on and tease, but he would throw rocks at Christians to kill them. He would torture Christians. Okay? He did not like Christians. He was Jewish. And one day, whenever he was walking on this road, Jesus showed up to him. In fact, in a bright light, it blinded Paul. And there were some words exchanged back and forth. And through this event, Paul became a believer of Jesus. And he was like one of the most like passionate believers in Jesus. He's like one of those guys who like whenever he does something, he has to do it like 100%. And so all of a sudden, Paul became someone who was against Christ to someone who was like one of the biggest followers of Christ and one of the pillars of the early church. And in fact, Paul wrote a lot of letters to a lot of different churches. And this right here, what we're about to read, is one of those letters that he wrote to a church. And this church was in a town named, do you guys know? A town named Philippi. Yes! It was in a town named Philippi. It's kind of given away because it's called Philippians. Okay, so he wrote to this little church in Philippi, and he wrote these words about salvation. And this is so, so cool. It says this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed my words, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence." He's not there. He's writing them a letter. He's saying, "I'm absent, but you've always obeyed my words. Obey this." He goes on. He says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear, with trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Now, here's the interesting thing. Paul also wrote the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, Paul goes on to say, hey, whoever shall believe in Jesus Christ shall be saved. Paul says that in the book of Romans. But here Paul is saying something just a little bit different. You see, this whole ideal of saved, this whole ideal of rescued is really interesting. How many of you guys have taken geometry? Some sort of a geometry class, yeah. So you guys know a little bit. How many of you guys have heard of array? What array is? Great, awesome. So here's the thing about array. A line, and if I could set this up, I would for you guys. Maybe this will be the best example that I have. This is the best I got, and I'm working with it. A line is really interesting. In fact, a line never ends. A line keeps going in both directions. But array, if you guys have studied geometry, array has a starting point. Imagine this is like a big dot. And then from that starting point, from that dot, it moves in a particular direction starting at that dot. And it keeps going forever. This will keep going forever in any direction that it's facing. But it stops at the dot. It has a starting point. Now, here's the thing. Paul in Romans will talk about this idea of salvation in a way that it has a starting point. In fact, someone at any moment can say, hey, once I did not believe in Jesus Christ, now I do believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in that he lived, I believe that he died, and I believe that he rose, all for my sin, all for the brokenness that is in me, that God came to earth and died for that. And because someone believes in that and confesses that in one moment, they are saved in that moment. But in Philippians, Paul continues this idea. He says it's not just one moment that someone says, I am saved and it is done. In fact, it's something that we will all, if you believe in Christ, continue to work out for the rest of your life, forever. You will continue to work out your salvation. Now, this is an interesting thought, and I know that that might be kind of a new thought for you guys. Maybe you always knew that, hey, believing in God in one moment, I can become a believer and I can be saved in a moment. But this is something that's continual for the rest of your life. It's because we continually need rescuing. In fact, I believe if you guys were to ask yourself, hey, whenever you believe in Jesus, is everything perfect? No. Is everything the way it should be? No. We continue to need rescuing. And so we continue to need continual salvation. Now you guys are going to dig into this in your groups a little more about what does this look like to have continual rescue? What does this look like to have continual salvation? But before you do, I wanted to tell you guys three words. And if you can come up to me on Wednesday night at SU Nights and tell me these three words, I'll give you a candy bar. Now here are the three words. If you need to write them down, go for it. The three words are this: belief. Belief is the first word. The second word is this: baptism. Baptism. And the third word is this: disciple. Belief, baptism, disciple. If you can come up to me on Wednesday, tell me those three words, I'll give you a candy bar. Now, here's the thing about these three words. Salvation can happen in a moment. Belief. Baptism. That's a showing, an outward action saying to the world, I believe. Okay? It's you outwardly doing that to show the world that you believe. And we're going to experience some baptisms today here in a minute. And then disciple. Disciple also has to do with this word salvation. Continually working out your salvation for the rest of your life. Everyone, all the adults in here, guys, they're on that third word, okay? They're still there. It's not like they've graduated. And some of you guys are on that third word, okay? Disciple, continually working out your salvation. Now, you guys are going to go ahead and jump into groups. You guys have a shorter time today. You have about 10 minutes to go through groups. And at about 11:15, we're actually going to dismiss all together. We're going to go out to the lobby. And we're going to experience baptisms. And I'm going to tell you this real quick about baptisms. Whenever we're out there in the lobby, if you're not sure what to do or like where to put yourself or what you should be doing out in the lobby, here the three things I encourage you to do in the lobby is, number one, if you know the people who are getting baptized, go up to them and tell them congratulations. High five, hug, whatever that looks like, right? Congratulate them. Be a part of their experience. Here's the second thing. If you don't know them or if you do, pray for them. Pray for whoever is being baptized. Just be in prayer. And then the third thing, this is a community thing. I encourage you to stay around with your group. Hang out. Talk with your group members. Talk with your leaders. Just hang out and be a part of the group together, even in the lobby, because that's community experiencing that together, okay? And so you guys have about 10 minutes to go ahead and jump into your questions. At 11:15, you guys can self-dismiss to the lobby. Go for it.